from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Gonna pop in here for a couple minutes. I can say hello to you, Mr. Wonstadt.
Dave Wonstadt.
Shane, wake up.
NFL head coach for 11 years.
The Bears came in here and Dave Wonstadt. There's a happy group of overachievers that have been well coached.
College football national champion.
Dave Wonstadt, one of my, you know, really idols.
Super Bowl champion.
I'm a good friend with Wonstadt as well. And what's his drink of choice, by the way?
Usually a Manhattan.
Bourbon.
Or Terry Bradshaw bourbon.
Yeah, exactly.
Bourbon. All right, good. I'm an old-fashioned guy myself.
Football analyst for NBC Sports Chicago.
I feel like I'm at the family gathering, Coach. This is pretty good.
It is. It doesn't get any better than this. I'll tell you, unless I had all 6 grandkids here, that's the only way it would be better.
This is...
For good kids.
Oh, yeah. These are twins right here. This is Eddie and David Napleton and their brother, Francis.
Hey, could you guys call me Coach?
Coach Spink.
Yeah. You want to ask where I am, maybe?
Listen to this. This is what I always say.
Say, where's Spigs?
Where's Spigs?
I'm right here. All right.
They listened to the show.
That's awesome.
As soon as I got home, they wanted to know where Tanny was at.
We took a...
You know what they kill me with? The mind.
Oh, miss something tall and strong. They get a hurricane before I go insane. It's only 12:30, but I don't care. It's 5:00 somewhere.
Coach Wonstadt with us on the Parkinson Spiegel Show. How you doing, Dave?
I'm good, guys. What's happening?
Oh, you know, football is happening. Hard Knocks is happening. Things like that. Did you watch the episode?
No.
Okay.
That's too bad.
I didn't know. How was it? Fill me in.
It was good.
Should I watch it?
Yeah.
Why would you not watch it?
Well, because generally the people that don't talk are the ones that are doing all the talking, and vice versa. The guys that have something important to say and generally do, they kind of let the other guys go on and talk. So I don't know. I mean, it's edited. Is it real? Yeah, I guess so, to a degree, you know.
Coach,
I'll watch some of it.
I'd love you to watch it. We would love you to watch it. I would love you to watch it. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I'd be interested to know what you think of a couple different things that are in there. And
okay, I'll watch it.
Thanks, Coach. First,
what's it on? Local or what station is it on?
It's on Max.
It's on HBO.
Max,
HBO Max.
All right, I got to check and see if I get that. Okay.
One of the things in there, I'm not spoiling it for you because it happens early, is Matt Eberflus hosts a party at a pool. It's his pool at his house for a lot of the other coaches. You know about this party because it actually happened. That's why it's on the show. But yeah, a lot of the other coaches and their families and stuff. Trying to imagine Dave Wonstadt. Did you ever host a pool party for other coaches and their families at your palatial estate when you were head coach of the Bears?
As much or more than anybody that I've ever worked with. In my house, win, lose, or draw, after every game was open. My coaches would come by with their wives, kids, whoever, and we would have cocktails and we would talk about the game. I was big into that, absolutely. Everywhere I coached, my guys were... We were family, and I always thought that you – and, you know, there's two reasons. One, the wives spend so much time away during this season that it's great to kind of get them involved as much as possible. But the other reason, I think, when you're in that setting and you have a cocktail, whether things went good or bad, people have a tendency to just open up a little bit more. And, you know, it's not that sit around a boardroom mentality. People are loosened up. And I did it everywhere I coached. I truly did.
Dave, Nick Saban was there, and he said that the expectations on Caleb are going to be so high that that's something that Flus is going to have to protect him against. And Flus was talking about, yeah, because it takes time, right? There's year one, and then year two is improvement, and year three is mastery, which I thought was interesting because rookie quarterbacks can be pretty good, and you can win with rookie quarterbacks nowadays. Like, what do you think is fair? If Flus is saying, you know, year one is development, what is reasonable for people like Spiegs and me and Bears fans to say, okay, this is fair to talk about with Caleb and the Bears this year?
I think what is fair, and I believe this will happen, I believe that Caleb, it's how he plays should not, it would be unfair to say that is going to determine the big picture season for the Bears football team. But I do believe where Caleb will be better and where he has to be better, and I believe he will be, is there's always situations in most games. Maybe there's a sudden change, a turnover, and you get the ball, you know, at the 30-yard line going in. You got to capitalize on that. You get the ball in the last 2 minutes of the half. You got to take advantage of that offensively. The game's even or you're behind by a touchdown at the end of the game. You got to have a quarterback that can make a few plays and get the ball in the end zone. So I think every game is different, but the point that I'm making is he's going to have to just make a few plays, I think, in every game that make a difference. He doesn't have to do it 65 times or whatever plays they run, 80 plays, but he does have to make a half a dozen plays, whether it's a good decision, whether it's a play with his arm, whether it's a play with his feet, that makes puts the game in a position for the Bears to win. That was the first thing that Flew said about Justin Fields when I knew that it was over. And I talk about this all the time. That's why I was a big fan of J.J. McCarthy's coming out of Michigan is, you know, Michigan was down by a touchdown with 4 or 5 minutes to go in the game. And J.J. McCarthy takes him down, scores a touchdown. They go to overtime against Alabama. He gets the ball, takes him down the field and scores, and they win the championship. That is what separates quarterbacks. And I think Caleb's going to have to do that a few times. That to me is what the expectation should be. If they want to become a playoff team, he's going to have to do it.
That's a great answer. It's a great answer because I think we get caught up in the numbers, and the numbers obviously often do correlate to the success and the measuring of the quarterback and all that. But we were talking earlier about the eye test, and like, we'll know even if the numbers aren't there, because this is a good team and they don't necessarily need him to be an explosive statistical passer. But on the weekly, it makes me want to chart that every week and think about it. Like, how many plays of consequence towards a win can we say that Caleb Williams was a part of every week? I think that'll and you're saying that's probably what goes on inside a coaching office.
100%. And now it doesn't have to be a great throw. I mean, it might be
right.
Just a situation of tucking the ball and running for a first
down. The right play, the right decision, coach.
Exactly. Making a play at the right time that gives the Bears a chance to win a football game. And it can come in a lot of different ways, guys. Checking out of a play and getting in the right play when a blitz is coming so you don't get hit in the back of the head and fumble. That, you know, some of those things don't get talked about unless they happen. And we all see him. And then we said, oh, why did Justin Fields get hit in the back and the ball came out? Well, he probably should have seen that maybe and got the ball out quicker as an example. Stuff like that is what he's going to have to make some plays. And I believe he will. I've been impressed with everything so far. He just needs to play. You got to get him in there. He's got to get some reps, guys. I mean, I fell into that trap last year. I was up there for OTAs and camp, as you guys know, and Justin Fields up and down the field, up and down the field in 2 minute drills, putting the ball in the end zone, DJ Moore making great catches. And then when it became for real, it didn't happen early. So, I mean, Caleb needs some live work. I don't care. You can cut it all different ways, but it needs to happen, I believe.
You know, they said today it's going to happen. And the Bills said, the first quarter, and Flew said that the starters that are healthy will play. He didn't say exactly how long, but we're going to get Caleb's debut Saturday against Buffalo.
Yeah, it's about time. Yeah, he needs to play, and so does that offensive line. I'm concerned there, guys. I mean, I said that on our show here a couple of weeks ago. You guys asked me what was the biggest, and I said, the offensive line is going to be better. They're going to be more experienced, but I said they concern me. You know, Jenkins over there talking to the trainer after a lot of live reps. Davis, he's out again. The offensive line, a couple serious injuries, that concerns me, because now, obviously, that's going to fall back on Caleb, and it's going to put a little more pressure on him to overcome that.
As we listen to Matt Eberflus talk about Nate Davis and say, among other things in recent days, a guy can lose his job because of injury, to say that, no, he needs to get out there, and just the way that he's talked about it, how pissed do you get a sense that Matt Eberflus really is about Nate Davis not being available again this training camp?
Oh, I'm sure he's disappointed. It's nothing new. It's the same thing that we've seen since we signed him and we got into OTAs and he couldn't practice for different reasons. I'm sure he's upset. I'm positive, and he's probably trying to be just as cordial as, not cordial, but he's probably trying to just handle it as politically correct as he can without totally losing the kid. It's disappointing.
Does that get in your head as a coach? Can those emotions get in your head in terms of trusting a guy and whether you actually give him his job back?
100%. Absolutely. You hate that. You shouldn't have a veteran like this that we paid a lot of money to. And you're saying to yourself, okay, he's got to prove that he can get in there and play 17 games for us. You shouldn't be saying that at this point in the game. Maybe a rookie, that was banged up a little bit, or a first-year, second-year player that's, you say, hey, this guy, before we can say he's the guy, he needs to play a full season. We need to see it. We shouldn't have to say that with the guy that's been in the league, 3, 4, 5 years.
We're talking to Dave Wanstead, Parkinson Spiegel on the Score. This came up earlier in the show, Coach. Wanted to get your expert opinion. If you could choose one position on the football field to be invisible, which one would you choose?
You mean coach from a coaching perspective, like be with those guys?
Is that I'm talking about, like, literally we wouldn't be able to see them.
If you were trying to win a game, who would be the most useful player on the field to be invisible?
Probably a free safety.
Oh,
interesting. How come?
That's a defensive guy's answer.
Well, you're going to throw the ball, right? I mean, you're going to have to throw the ball to win. And if you didn't know where he was at, that's not real good. because the safeties dictate your coverage, right? And you hear it all the time, how the quarterback's eyes are either looking one way and coming back the other. And why are they looking that way? Because they're staring down the safety to get him to move and then come back the other way. So if they couldn't see him, it'd be pretty tough.
Yeah, it's a good answer. That's
a real football-y answer.
We eventually settled on, like a pass rusher, linebacker type, because you just sack the quarterback every time.
Unless they're running it and you're running the ball up the field.
You could run away. That's true.
You could run away from them. You could just run the ball. I mean, please.
Yeah, how about the running back, Coach? What about offense? I know you love defense. What about a running back who's invisible?
Running back would make it difficult to tackle. I would agree with you there. What the hell are we talking about here? I'm trying to enjoy my sidecar here. Tell Shane we're talking about invisible players. Come on.
I'm here. They don't have to tell me. I'm hearing what you're saying. What'd you shoot today?
Yeah, what'd you shoot on the golf course today, Coach?
I played pretty good. I was about, I was about 94, 95.
It's not that good for anyone.
Well, it's a bogey golfer for me. And it was Skokie. It was a tough course. I was up at Rutgers for 3 days. My flight got canceled one day, so it turned into a little longer trip. Tony Wise was up there. I went up and spent 3 days. Greg Schiano flew me up. I was in all their meetings. And, they're going to be an interesting team this year. For all you guys that are making bets out there in the Big Ten, you check out Rutgers' schedule. Keep an eye on these guys.
Okay. All right. So you
Skokie,
were,
beautiful course. Congratulations on all your success.
You were the star that got called in by Greg Schiano. Like Eberflus called in Nick Saban. Schiano calls you in.
You addressed the team?
I talked to the team, but more importantly, I sat in meetings and I did some coaching on the field. You know, I mean, I was with some of their linemen and, Greg and I are good friends. We talked during the season. So, I met Tony Soprano. James, help me out here.
Gandolfini.
I met his best friend because he has a nice picture in the hallway there. You know, he's a Rutgers grad.
Yeah.
He's from North Jersey, Bergen Catholic. And his best friend, they had heard that I was at practice, so he came by and we were talking Soprano stories for a while. Very interesting.
Oh, my God. Chris Tannehill wants to hang out with you and just hear those for the next time.
I was wondering what happened to Gary Cooper, the strong, silent type.
You know what he said? He said that James would tell him this guy was working another job. I won't get into it. And I said, were you many episodes? You know, because they were running buddies every weekend from their college days at Rutgers.
Wow.
And I said, were many episodes? And he says, Tony told me that Thursday was my day off. So if I had nothing to do Thursday, just come on in and they would just put me in the set as a stand in, you know, and do something. He says, oh, Coach, I was in a lot of episodes, you know, walking into a restaurant or walking across the street, and he says, just show up. We'll put you in the show. Don't worry about it. I'll tell you what to do when you get here.
Wow. But, remember, what is the lowest form of conversation?
That's true. Yeah. That's
tremendous. He would not do any commercials up there in Jersey, and Greg got a hold of him, and he said, you know what? He says, I will do something for Rutgers. And he did, that was his first big commercial that he did, an advertising locally there, obviously, and he says, I'll do it if I can bring my buddies. So he brought all his guys with him that I'm describing, and they were all in the commercial with him. So it's pretty, pretty cool.
I believe at Rutgers games, Coach, they have the Sopranos intro during their games to hype up the crowd and the players. They do the whole driving down the Jersey Turnpike thing with the music and everything. I believe that's
I can see it. I can see it. I used to hang out at a place, Cafe Monterano's in Fort Lauderdale. And Big Steve, who ran it, he was the private chef for them. And he left there. I think he opened a place in Vegas. But that was our spot there. It was a good one.
Wow.
You could play a mobster, Dave. I feel like we can get in Chicago Fire. We can get you on a mob show.
Yes, absolutely.
You got a pinstripe suit?
Yeah, like a Don Corleone type?
Absolutely.
Oh, he's got one. All right, Coach, I got two more for you. Here's one.
Okay.
Do you think Velus Jones Jr. is going to get cut? He's been running with the running backs of late in practice, and we're not sure how seriously to take that as an opportunity for him.
Yes, I think he'll be cut.
Yeah, it sure is trending that way.
Or traded, you know. I mean, you know, he's a young guy. He does have some ability. You never know what the other teams. Injury situation might be, or there could be a scout. You know, that's happened to me before. There's a scout that falls in love with this player from this school, and all of a sudden he gets cut. or he's up on the trade value. And they all of a sudden that team claims him, you know, so something like that could happen. Right. Sure.
Okay. And then my other question.
Yeah, because go ahead. The kickoff stuff is going to change drastically. So,
yeah,
you know, I don't know where he fits.
All right. And then the other question, the last one I had anyway, Danny, I don't know what else you have, but the last one I have, what member of a coaching staff would be best to have be invisible? Which coach on your staff, if they were invisible, would help the most, coach?
Would be a signal caller, that's for sure. Probably your offensive coordinator, right? The guy that's signaling the plays in on the sideline.
Right.
Can't see him. It's tough to, you know, although they got the mics now, so that probably doesn't work.
But your offensive coordinator is just calling runs.
Yeah, true. I didn't say mine. We're talking generalities.
Okay.
Who's your favorite? I got to give you a story. So we're up at Rutgers.
Please.
And Greg tells me that Tony's down there. The offensive line coach at Rutgers is a guy named Pat Flaherty. He coached in the NFL. He was the Giants line coach, I think, with Coughlin and those guys. And he just stayed right there and he went over. He's, you know, has his house and everything up. So he's with Greg now. And him and Tony Wise are big buddies. So we're standing there watching the drill. And the offensive line coach is describing, okay, guys, this is what we're going to do. We're going to come off. We're going to have to, you know, we're going to do work on this blocking technique. And all of a sudden he says, okay, let's split it in half. Left side here with me. Coach Wise, take that right side. And Tony turns his hat back. He's hobbling over and he says, get your damn hands on the line. Let's go on the first side. And Tony's in full street clothes coaching the offensive line for a period at Rutgers. It was, if we could have taped it, guys, it was classic.
Tell my son alone.
Beautiful.
Good for Tony.
It was beautiful. He says, we're splitting this thing in half. I got the left side. Coach Wise, can you take the right side? Yes, sir, he said. Get your damn hands on the line. Let's go to work. beautiful.
Man. Still got it. Tony's still got it. That's awesome.
Who's your favorite Sopranos character before we let you go?
Wow. Who would be my favorite? You know what? God, I mean, you know, everything just focused on Tony. I never thought about that. You know, I got to think of all the, you know, it is two right-hand man. That's a good question.
Beautifully put.
Yeah.
You'd say Tony. You'd say Tony.
I got to think about that. Yeah, I think, you know, he obviously had the stage the whole time, but I got to think about that.
Okay.
Candy, how did your grandkids review their visit last week? Did they have a good time?
They did. They had a great time. Yes, they did.
They were awesome. They were beautifully behaved.
Now I got to admit, Spigs.
Yeah.
The youngest one, little Francis, got you when you said, who's your favorite Cub?
Yeah.
And he said, Steele, right? Who did he say?
He said Justin Steele, but I thought he said Justin Fields, and I was chastising him for saying
that's
Justin
right.
Fields.
And you said, oh, no, you were ready to say, hey, little fella, it's Justin Fields. And he says, no, I didn't say that. Yeah. He says, that was beautiful.
Yeah,
oh,
I'm really sorry I missed your grandson correcting Spiegs on baseball.
Yeah.
No, they hung in there with us. But when my other grandson, James, comes up, he's in with Mitch. Him and Mitch kind of, he's the guy that hangs with Mitch. But I'll get James down here soon. He's got to get back in the action.
We're sorry for James.
Yes, I know. He got left behind. He was at camp somewhere.
Hey, coach, the other day I was with my boy at the grocery store, and I said, let's get a fruit. You can get any fruit you want. And you know what he chose?
Don't tell me mango.
Yeah, you damn right.
Mango?
You damn right he did.
Jeez, really?
It was delicious.
I didn't even know they sold those. I mean, I see them in Florida. I got trees down there in my backyard, but
Yeah, they sell them.
They pull them off the trees, and then they sell them in stores. They do. It's amazing.
I know. I'm mango. Wonder how that Tanny, if you got to follow up on that and see if Pittsburgh's selling any Iron City mango. See how that sales is going.
Tanny, go to Pittsburgh, okay?
Oh, you got it. Anything for you, Coach.
All right, Dave. We'll talk next week.
You're the best, Coach. Thank you.
All right. Didn't mean to bother you.
Yep. No problem. See you, Dave. No bother. Caleb Williams was on Up and Adams. I bet she didn't ask about who he wanted to be invisible. It's next on The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station. The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Mango?
Afternoons on The Score.
It's that guy Williams.
All right. Kay Adams was at camp today, and she got an opportunity to talk to Caleb Williams. She had never had him on before. Last time she had Jalen Johnson on, he talked about him being Hollywood, and it made a thing, and it was taken out of context, and, you know, whatever. It was a whole thing. But
it's interesting. She was supposed to be on this show at 3 o'clock, so I wonder when she recorded this.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But what do we got from the Bears quarterback with Kay Adams?
When he would play for Detroit, I enjoyed watching them, but I wasn't so young, but I was younger and I didn't really understand, and then I got older and older, and then I started to understand his game. He's unbelievable. Like there's a couple plays where he'll get a play action and he has the backer. On a string, like he wants the backer to go here, he'll go there, you know, throw it right behind his head, at the perfect touch, you know, perfect velocity, and so he's unbelievable. I don't know how. I think it was 46, right, on the top 100, 56.
I don't even
top
know. 100. I didn't look.
Unbelievable that
you
he shouldn't have
happy.
Been. I was not happy.
Where
about
would you put him?
Matthew Stafford is probably. I don't think I can name two quarterbacks. Three quarterbacks that play the position better than Matthew Stafford.
Wow.
Not obviously playing right now. I'm not saying.
42. He was 42,
42.
On the list.
I don't
robbed.
Know how he's 42.
You're telling me he's better than Josh Allen. He's better than, like, that. That's...
Matthew Stafford is Matthew Stafford. Aaron Rodgers right now in the game is my number one QB.
Yes. Which one?
Obviously, last year he got hurt and things like that. So that's, you know, it kind of varies for the top 100. But
you don't play Aaron. You play Matthew, though. You know.
Yeah. Matthew's
week
top
four.
Two in the league.
You're playing in week 4.
I know. He's top 2 in the league. I give him respect. I watch his game. I try and mimic things and get after
him. Damn. That's interesting. So being there at USC, watching Matthew up close maybe, but he talked about him in Detroit as well there at the beginning of that cut. He's got Matthew Stafford top 2 in the league. I'm going to think about that a little bit.
I mean, he also has Rodgers, so he has both of them ahead of Mahomes, right? It's obviously ridiculous. Mahomes is the best quarterback in the league. but Stafford is awesome.
No,
he's an excellent football player.
Yeah, no, he definitely is. And Caleb's not one who's thinking about the numbers. He's dissecting the play, and it got me thinking about what is it about the way Stafford plays.
Well, Stafford has numbers, too, though.
No, I know that. I know, but it's... And so I know the numbers are great for Stafford, but I'm thinking about the style and or the decisions, the consistent decisions, his ability to run, and also the legendary toughness. You remember the sequence? It's an incredible viral video of Stafford after he separates the off shoulder and comes back in on the goal line for Detroit.
Yeah, ridiculous.
Fascinating.
I mean, so he had the crazy statistical run in Detroit with none of the winning. And then he goes to the Rams
and has all the winning,
and immediately wins a Super Bowl with 4,800 passing yards, 41 touchdowns, 17 picks, completed 67% of his passes. So since he's gotten with McVay, you know, they haven't won every year, obviously, but Puka Nacua came onto the scene and was amazing.
Sure.
Cooper Kupp, not a heralded guy, became amazing. Like Stafford as a thrower of the football.
Great thrower of the football.
He's got one of the best arms that we've seen in the NFL.
Strong, great arm. Ball always comes out beautifully. And there's a fluidity to the way that he throws on the run. as well that I find myself thinking about. That's interesting. It's worth a follow-up at some other time.
Yeah, I mean,
from K.
Well, we know the Rodgers stuff, right? Like we know that he kind of reveres him. He models his game after him.
Sounds like he studied Stafford too.
Yeah,
you know, so the stylistic comparisons are interesting.
Yeah, it's the type of thing that like you think about how that guy plays. They're very different quarterbacks, Rodgers and Stafford. I mean, both have one ring, both have 99th percentile arm strength, but Stafford is much more of a stand in the pocket, Brady, Roethlisberger, you know what I mean? Just like sling the ball all over the field from any arm angle, but he does it from the pocket.
I feel like you're underselling kind of the useful mobility of Stafford. He's not going to break plays and get out wide and then run and turn him into that, but I feel like he's a time buyer and certainly was in his younger as a time buyer and a thrower on the run, a play extender. And we could look at certain metrics that they have for that. I wonder, you know, it's interesting to think about Caleb's love for him, and I wonder why that is.
I don't look at those guys as the same. Crazy elite arm talent that can make any throw and just, you know, all three levels of the field.
For sure.
Just crazy accurate, arm strength.
But
downfield assassin, too.
Scrambling to throw, though, also, you know, as opposed to scrambling to scramble. Extend the play to make throws.
Well, he's a volume passer, too. I mean, some of his seasons... You know, he's got a 4,800-yard season, a 4,900-yard season, and a 5,000-yard season.
Can you imagine if he was invisible?
Yeah.
How much better he'd be?
Again, though, the invisible quarterback, you would track the ball. So the ball would not be invisible.
Right, because you could see the ball.
You could see the ball.
That's why Wani's a football guy. He's a football
guy. I know, but safety.
Oh, I don't know, man.
You still would look guys off, though, even if you didn't know who you were looking off. Tanny nailed it. It's pass rush.
I don't agree. I think Wani nailed it. I think it's safety because
no.
It's reading keys. Don't you care about reading keys? You should. If the quarterback is reading the keys off the safety, it's going to throw off the entirety of the play call and everything they're trying to do.
Granted, you could blitz a safety, but I'm saying you could blitz a linebacker and the play's over in 2 seconds if the guy doesn't know where he's coming from.
Could do that with the safety, too. Could do that with the safety, too, and he's even faster.
Yeah.
He gets right there.
Right, but I mean, if Myles Garrett was invisible and there was no way to block him, the quarterback would be sacked. He'd have 100 sacks, and he'd probably have 50 forced fumbles.
Okay, but if Myles Garrett or a linebacker were invisible, then they'd be down one of the front seven. If a safety's invisible, like a Troy Polamalu or a Jaquan Brisker, he could be an additional guy to rush the passer on the line, and so you still got to worry about the full front seven plus the invisible safety.
Or just know you're releasing the ball quickly because there isn't a second safety back there. You lost a member of the secondary, so just get rid of the ball.
Sure, but then that's when the invisible safety plays back, having baited you into a throw.
This is so stupid.
No.
It's so dumb.
It's
pretty insightful.
It's dumb.
One of the texters wanted to know who would be the best invisible Sopranos character. I think this is helpful.
Oh, man. Well,
Christopher! Invisible Christopher.
That's what I said.
It is?
Yeah. He'd still be alive.
No, it'd have to
spoiler,
be a hit.
Spoiler.
A hitman. Right? It's got to be a hitman. Think of the ability. Think of all the whacking you could do.
Speaks. What kind of whacking?
Sometimes you just got to give it to yourself. Sometimes. It is whacking day.
We got a problem with the guy. You got to give it to yourself.
Good thing he's invisible. Doing it over there in a corner and bada bing.
Oh, good suggestion on Twitch. Any of the girlfriends that Tony had on the side, they should be invisible.
They should be invisible.
Yeah.
But how is he going to get down?
Right.
Right.
Can you imagine if Annabella Sciorra was invisible? She'd still be alive.
Oh, I'd hate that. One of my favorite parts of the show.
That's incredible. That's a great plot line there.
Oh, God.
Which version of Wani in his career would want to be invisible? Probably Bears coach, right?
I know. No, towards the end, maybe.
Anytime after a post game when Bernstein's asking him questions.
Yeah, right. Yeah, the Bernstein era.
Crap, Bernsey. How about Dave Wanstead, Buffalo Bills defensive coordinator? That's a rough toe. That's a rough time.
Do we believe that Dave has watched The Sopranos? Because the only character he could pull was Tony.
I think so. Just like one time through. Or not all the episodes, but he saw it live. I guess it was on Sunday, so probably not. He probably didn't see it live.
That's what I'm saying. I think it's in play. He laughed at the idea that he would watch Hard Knocks, didn't know what network it was on. It is on the same network as The Sopranos, could only name Tony as a character.
It's kind of delightful that he didn't watch Hard Knocks and doesn't care.
Don't we kind of pay him to watch Hard Knocks?
I thought so.
I thought so, too.
I had a couple questions on that. Figured it was kind of part
Mitch,
of the thing.
If you're listening, maybe withhold the next paycheck from until he watches Hard Knocks.
Could never do that to Dave.
Yes, we could.
I wouldn't.
No.
Guy does it for the love of the game. He's not getting paid that much anyway.
He does love the game. There was a lot of legit great stuff in there about the quarterback and how to measure the success of a rookie quarterback. And it's not as clean as we'd like it to be. But I'm going to carry some of that stuff into the season. That's for sure.
Well, we can do that coming up. And we could talk about which position on the field would be most valuable if they could fly. It's Parkinson Spiegel on the Score.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
It's been a long 4 hours.
Afternoons on the Score.
I choose my words wisely, but I could give two, and you probably know the next word. I don't really care about the outside people. It only matters about the people in the building, the people around every day, my family, my support staff, my support system of my family and all of them. So other than them and the people in the building, have fun. Get all your clicks that you need and, you know, have at it.
Huh.
Doesn't care about us.
Interesting.
He shouldn't.
We're right here, Caleb. Get all the clicks we can, huh? Yeah, no, he shouldn't. I totally agree.
But, I mean, sometimes he did clap back at people online in the pre-draft process. And so he has been very less active online since he's been on the Bears. His Instagram stories updates, but it hasn't been terribly personable. It's been a lot of reposting. Not much on Twitter, so maybe he's adjusting.
Danny, let me help you with the modern youth, okay?
Oh, please.
Elders
always have the best advice.
The ones who talk about how they don't care the most care a little bit. They usually care a little bit. As in terms of that, the ones who are very online and say, but I really don't care, they check from time to time, and every once in a while it gets the best of them and they'll respond. Because even though I am an elder, as you say, I'm the same way.
Yeah, you care.
Yeah, you care.
Of course you care.
You end up caring just
human
a little.
Beings.
We're human. And we can try to just have the thick skin all the time and just focus, focus, focus. And it's like, that's a philosophy as old as time to hold on to this idea of, like, don't wring your hands about what others think and what others say. But every once in a while you see something and you're like, you know what? F that guy. And I'm going to tell him.
When we know that Caleb does that.
That's what I'm saying.
We know it. We know he does. So whether he speaks to it, but he'll have his moments where he reacts to it. Again, we know he will.
It's a great aspiration, though. It's a great aspiration.
Absolutely. Just wanted to hear one more thing from that conversation. The leadership style that he speaks to here.
My leadership style is, I'm a little fiery. I like things being right. I like things being perfect. I like us getting the stuff right. Obviously, I have to control it to a certain extent. Because of position, because, you know, everybody, you know, is going to look at the QB and things like that. If I'm out there losing my stuff, it's not going to be a good look for, you know, the next play or for defense, whatever the case may be. So I would say a little fiery, but also, you know, in control.
Well, we know that he runs hot, man. We've seen it. Like, we've seen the hating losing in college. There will be moments of imperfection in terms of the curated image. Because he is imperfect, because people are imperfect.
Yeah, and he's passionate.
He runs hot.
He gives a crap.
He does.
That's inherently good.
So. Yeah, it should have more good than bad. That he will get criticism for it. It will come with criticism, but it is true to who he is.
Do you know the first producer, Danny, of the McNeil and Boards show way back in the day on 670 The Score, the very first producer of that show? That man's name was Judd Surratt. And Judd Surratt today was named the Boston Bruins television play-by-play voice.
He had been their radio voice.
Had been their radio voice, got the TV gig.
Congrats.
Judd is a terrific guy. Did Cubs pre and post for a while in this town and some Blackhawks here and then left for a Bruins radio job and now today got the Bruins TV job and I'm just thrilled for that guy.
That's awesome. We had him on for Score Stories. He was excellent. Talking about that. He was really cool talking about all that.
Because he saw some crazy stuff at 49 West Belmont.
Yes, he did.
I forgot we had him on for that.
Yeah, he was really good for that.
Yeah.
And it's cool. Like, you follow your passion and you do that. It's not a career change, but it kind of is.
Let me tell you, I was at his wedding and the band was fabulous. Like, the band was really, really good.
That's why he got the gig.
I think so.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And he's still happily married to this day because of the band.
Judd Surratt, one of the first guys when I was at WGN learning how to produce there, gave me a shot on like doing highlights for Blackhawks games.
Oh, that's cool.
Very, I love Judd.
Was he was good? He was kind?
He was great. Yeah, he asked me to book guests. Like he was great. He was so nice to me. I'm so happy for
that's
him.
That's the way he was with interns and with young producers at the Score in the early days. Absolutely.
What did he say? Cut all like the goals? Stuff?
He told me to do the goals.
Got
and
it.
Then
that's a good highlight to get in hockey.
Like, he told me to tell the story of the game, which is what the producers here don't even still do. So, like, I'm glad Judd taught me that.
Maybe you should tell him that. You know?
I used to when I was in that job.
Okay.
Lift as you climb, Shane.
Oh, but now you're just too big to help out the producers.
No, I still help. I'm just saying Judd is the one who first told me to tell the story of the game.
That's great.
I love Judd for that.
That's a great thing.
That's a great.
That's a great.
Very nice.
Whatever.
Judd Surratt, I have a mic.
I talked for 4 hours.
Wow.
It's 5:53. And I leave out a word at 5:53. And you're going to bury me?
Ruined the perfect game.
I mean, as someone who does the podcast, you don't talk for 4 hours. You talk for like 2 hours and 20 minutes.
Okay.
Like,
whatever.
That's how much content
and
we have.
And at least half of that is Danny.
Yeah.
More like 70%.
Depends on the day. You did a great job today.
I felt. Thank you. Yeah, thank you very much. Welcome. Could you write that down?
A big sporting event today during our show, man. That Team USA win is gonna reverberate for a while.
I'm going to watch it tonight with the Roobster. I don't know how to find it.
Probably
on Peacock.
YouTube TV.
Maybe not a question to ask at 5:53, but do people actually care? Like, will you remember tomorrow that Steph Curry had the game of his career?
Yes, I will.
I will, too.
I won't.
I absolutely will.
I don't give a bleep.
I like Team USA basketball.
I like Team USA basketball. I told you I love Steph. He's one of my top 10 athletes of all time. Ooh.
Yeah, that's my Steph.
And I love Eli. Owen.
I get it. Thank yous today. Dave Wanstead was on the show.
Oh God, he sure was. Mark Brody
was on the show. He sure was.
Yeah. And that's it. Nobody else.
Connor O'Donnell, Kevin Lapka, Twitch chat, video stream. Thank you, sirs. The Radiothon is 1 week from today.
It's amazing.
That is both amazing and terrifying.
The thon.
Yeah, oh my God. Get your donation dollars ready. We're going to try to raise $1 million.
Need to answer one question. A wide receiver who could fly.
That's got to be the answer.
That's the answer.
Yeah, it's the answer.
Hey, does the Radiothon accept dinger dollars?
Sure. So everything counts.
I've got some dinger dollars in my savings account.
Everything counts.
Is that how we solve cancer?
Mark Grody coming up after us. Shane Reardon, our executive producer. Thank you, sir. Chris Dan Hill making us sound better than we are each and every day. For Matt Spiegel, I'm Danny Parkins. We are Parkins and Spiegel. This is The Score.
All right, I got to go here, guys. I got something.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started.
before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.